So the title of today's sermon is Pray Without Ceasing. Can we say that together? And the alternative title will be Never Stop Praying. Can we say that together? Okay, open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm very sure that God will bless you through this message. God will open your eyes. God will show you things, you know, that you thought you knew in a new way, in a deeper way, in a practical way that will help you, that will inspire you and motivate you to go further and achieve more godly results. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 22. I'd like to volunteers, New King James Version and New Living Translation. And the youth, of course, are my most special volunteers, but everyone can have a go. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 22.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil.
Amen. Thank you for that. Yeah, he said rejoice what? Always. Someone say, is it possible to rejoice always? Say, what's it about? You're always rejoicing. Yeah? What's your secret? You're always what? Rejoicing. Have you noticed, you know, Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love and what? And joy and peace. Amen? One of the works that the Holy Spirit does in our life is to make us joyful. Amen? Say, I would say, if you want to measure if you are growing spiritually, you can, there are checkpoints. You can check something, few things. Let me give you 5 quick tests that you are growing spiritually. Yeah? Are you more loving? I think that one is popular because love has been overbeaten. You know, it's like love. Even when you hear love worship songs, love will come up one way or the other. People like to be loved, yeah? Everybody likes to be loved. Amen? But that is the outer package, which is the real package, but we have to unpack it. Amen? Anybody got Christmas presents? Anybody got Christmas presents from anybody? Okay. Anybody yet to unpack their presents? There are some of us like that. Anybody yet to unpack? Amen? You know, some people, the moment you get a present, immediately they will unpack it right in front of you. Some of us will just put it there and save it for later. We enjoy the wait and the suspense. Amen? But at some point, you must unpack it. Amen? When you unpack love, what's the first thing you get there? Joy. So if you're growing, the next question is, are you more joyful? Amen? Can you look at your life before you met Christ and now? Or can you look at your life before you started engaging well with church and now and say, I'm more joyful? Now, I'm not asking if you are more happy or happier. I'm asking if you are more joyful. If you are more joyful, you are growing. Amen? Are you more what? Peaceful. Or are you very troublesome? Amen? Are you very troublesome? Have you learned, yeah, to enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding? Yeah? It's something you tap into. Amen? You tap into it by faith, by engagement, by fellowship. Amen? What's the fourth one? Are you more what? Patient. Amen? See, if you're growing spiritually, your patience will be tested. Amen? Your patience will be what? Tested. It's a test of your maturity. Hallelujah. So when your patience will be tested, see it as an opportunity for you to demonstrate that you are becoming more matured. Amen? Your ability to wait. But that's not, it's not, testing your patience is not just only about waiting. But a key part. Your ability to wait is a test of your patience. Your ability to endure You know, waiting can be different from enduring. Sometimes, you're not enduring anything, you're just waiting because something you want is in the future. Yeah? You're not enduring any pain, any discomfort, it's just that you can't have it now. So that's pure waiting. But in some other waitings, you're actually going through what? Something unpleasant. Something painful. Yeah? Something discomforting. So your ability to endure is also a test of what? Your patience. The third aspect of the test of patience is your ability to keep faith. Amen? Or let me say, your ability to keep the routine. Hello? There's a routine that you're doing. You were told that if you do this, it will produce this result. So you started doing it. But the result is not yet coming out. Now you're going to be tempted to ditch the routine. But your ability to keep that routine is also a test of what? Your patience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let me get back to the message. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-22, New Living Translation. New Living, yes, another person? Someone else? Male or female, young or old? New Living Translation. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-22. I want to encourage you not to do any other thing on your phone during this sermon, apart from Bible app and notes app. Amen. Or looking at my face. It's just for the next 30 minutes and you'll be free. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-22. Go on, please.
Always be joyful.
Always be joyful. But that's not possible in your human power. It only comes through your relationship with God. It only comes when you choose to look away from your situation or circumstance and focus on God. Hallelujah. Bible says they looked up unto him, Psalm 34, and they were radiant. When you look up, you receive the light of God into your soul. Amen? The light of God will shine into your soul. Amen? Irrespective of whatever darkness is around you. And that light gives joy. It brings you joy. Amen? So when you are low, when you are down, look up. Amen? Look up. Talk to the Lord. Amen? Pour out your heart and receive his joy. Amen? Praise him. You know, he said, always be joyful. King James said, rejoice in the Lord. One of the ways to rejoice in the Lord is to what? Do what? To praise him. He says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. You will never be joyful if you're not thankful. You can write it down. You will never be joyful if you're not what?
Thankful.
You enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Sometimes, if you're like me, you may find yourself praying and telling God all the things that are not working. You work that and things are not working. You tell him, you list it. So you know there are different types of personality. Some persons are very detailed. They will list everything to God. Just in case he forgot, yeah? Tell him everything. Amen? But you can pray like that, but that you must balance it. Amen? It's not balanced prayer. Amen? When you've done that, please also tell God and thank him for everything that is what? Working. All that has worked. Amen? And all you need to do is flash back yourself, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year. Look at everything else that worked. If you're praying to God and complaining about somebody in your life, yeah, that they're not working the way they should be working, please balance it and thank God for everything about them that is good. Amen. If you are thankful, you will end up being what? Joyful. Always be joyful. It's a command. It's a spiritual thing. But it didn't say always be happy. You understand me? Yeah, you're only happy when good things happen to you. We get that. And when good things don't happen, you won't be happy. I can't tell you be happy when you have just gone through, you know, a sad experience. When something has not gone. I can't say, you know, don't worry, be happy. What's been done? Amen. But you can be joyful because you are rejoicing in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then again, I say, rejoice. Please keep going. Always be joyful, yeah?
Never stop praying.
Now, let's stop there. Never stop what? Praying. Now, the Holy Spirit help me. Because when I say never stop praying, what does that mean to you? Let me just sample to wake some people up. Never stop praying. I'm just. I want to wake you all up. Never stop praying. What does that mean to you? Let's join first, the young one. Never stop praying. What does that mean?
To be thankful and grateful for what the Lord has given you.
Yes.
Get a word there before my mic goes off. It's like if you don't watch it, it will happen.
Yes. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. What does that mean?
Keep talking to the Lord.
Keep talking to the Lord. Yes. More? Never stop praying. What does that mean? Remember? Never. Those are strong words. Never. You know, like someone said, if you're in a relationship, yeah, whether you're in a marriage or you're in a friendship or you are, you know, in a courtship, there are two words you should try to avoid. Never and always. Yeah? You never do this. You never do that. That usually is never true anyway. You always do this. You always... No. Just focus on the problem of the moment. Don't generalize it. Amen? But in this case, because they are strong words, never and always. Say, never stop praying. What does that mean to you?
Pray without ceasing in every situation.
Pray without ceasing. You know, I just like the way you switched it. You just switched from New Living to King James. Yes, never stop praying. What does that mean? Anyone here? Yes.
In anything you do, everywhere you are, everywhere you go, you pray.
Yes. Anything you do, anywhere you are, anywhere you go, you are?
Pray.
You pray. I like one of the songs I've heard before. One of the songs says, something, I pray. Yeah, sure, you know that song, don't you? Well, after service, you can hum it to Google. It will come out. Yeah? Yeah? Yes? Never stop praying.
Keep communicating with God.
Keep communicating with God. I like that too. Let's say one more. Never stop praying. What does that mean?
Well, it means prayer is never enough. And, I mean, for you to keep praying means, I mean, because I prayed yesterday, doesn't mean that it's over. You know, there is always, that prayer is like a protection, the continuous, you know, to guide against things. Because if you tarry, then you're opening a door. So it has to be continuous.
Amen. Now, I'm going to fight. Okay, take one more. That's your hand. Yes?
Always consider God.
Always keep God in mind. Amen? Always keep, just one turn. Always keep God in mind. Now, let me just make some statements then. I will explain to you. Never stop praying. Just summarizing what you said and then starting from the last two comments. Now, any living thing, anything that is born can die. Let me explain. Anything that is born can die. Life is a precious thing that for life to continue, it needs to be nourished and protected. When you stop nourishing life, it starts degrading. And if you don't nourish it for long enough, it stops. Amen? Now, the same thing, if you nourish life but you don't protect it, it can be damaged. Amen? So that's what we learn. That's the basic thing about a life or a living thing. Whether it's a plant or an animal, it needs nourishment and it needs what? Protection. The same thing applies to your spiritual life. Amen? Your spiritual life needs nourishment. And it needs what? Protection. When you stop nourishing your spiritual life, it starts diminishing. Amen? It starts what? Diminishing. If you don't protect it, if you don't get anything precious to you, you have to guard it jealously.
If you're not guarding it generously, it's not precious. It can be stolen. You have to protect it. That's what the Bible says, be sober and what? Be vigilant. Why? You have an adversary. Who is your adversary? It's not the friend that he can use them. But the one behind all the other things people oppressing you is the real enemy. You have to understand the real enemy. Sometimes people pray for their enemy to die. Yeah? But they don't understand that no matter how many of your enemies die, new ones can rise. Because the real adversary is the devil. So when enemies oppress you, see behind them what the devil is trying to do. Amen? And Bible says that he's looking for whom to devour. That's why you guard the spiritual life generously. So now in terms of nourishment, the way I will explain never stop praying to you is this. He says, imagine I said to you, young man, I said, never stop drinking water. Where's the mic? Never stop drinking water. What does that mean to you? If I say never stop drinking water. What does that mean? Just say what it means. What do you think it means? If I say never stop drinking water. What am I trying to tell you? Take him to Sunday school. And stay with him for a while. It will be fine there. Never stop drinking water. Okay.
To continuously drink water.
Continuously drink water. Yes, yes, fine. If I say, thank you. I found something that stayed you. Again, never stop drinking water.
Well, water is something that you need to live. That is a necessity.
Water is essential for your life. Now, I'm definitely not telling you to... Where's your water bottle again? I'm not saying drink water every second. Amen. Hello? I'm not telling you to drink water every second. That may not be possible, yeah? Because if imagine you kept drinking water every second, will you have time for food? What about work? What about sleep? What about play? Amen. But never stop drinking water. Water is essential. You must continue to engage with water all through your life. You can't say, oh, I drank water yesterday. I drank 50 liters. Oh, I did it. of water last week. So I can go without water now during Christmas holiday. You see that? Yeah. It's essential. You must continue to refuel with water. You must continue to rehydrate. Yeah? You must drink water healthily or enough water. Yeah? I woke up, it came to me. You must drink enough water that it's not coming together. You must drink water enough, yeah, to be healthy. I'm not saying it right. No. It's not coming out the way I've said it before earlier this morning. Yeah? You must drink water in a healthy portion. If you drink less, you are arming yourself. Yeah? Yeah. Some organs in your body may not work right. If you're not drinking enough water. You see, that's why it says never stop. It's essential for your life. So the same way, prayer is essential. Someone says prayer is essential for my spiritual life. There are two things that are essential for your spiritual life. Just like for your physical life, for nourishment, you need food. Have you realized that? Whether you're happy or you're sad, you need what? Food. We know that sometimes when you are sad, you may eat less. And there are other groups of people that when they are sad, what do? They binge. You know? We know that your moods can affect, but you must keep eating. At least for survival. Amen? You can't eat all the food you need for your life in one day.
and then go on strike. You must eat daily. In fact, if you're not fasting, probably you eat 3 times daily. You can see the routine. The same way spiritually, you must continue to engage with the word of God. You can't say, I know the Bible so much. The Bible I've studied in my life. In fact, for the rest of my life, I don't need to read the Bible again. No, sir. Amen? No. You know why? Because the word of God is like food. The one you've received, you processed it. You need a refill. Hallelujah. You need a refill. It needs to stay fresh. Yeah? Stale food will not do your body much benefit. It can even do you harm. You need fresh food. And you need to feed it daily. So you know that your spiritual life is already going down when you stop reading your Bible. Amen? You spend 3 hours on what? TikTok. I'm not talking to you. You know my style, yeah? When I'm looking, I'm just, this is where I'm preaching. TikTok, Snapchat, and what? Instagram. You know what you were doing? You were consuming entertainment. It's wine. It's wine. You're getting drunk on entertainment. Yeah? Then you couldn't even spare 5 minutes to read 1 Thessalonians 5. Huh? 5 minutes to read 1 Thessalonians what? 5. Amen? Are you with me? If you check your screen time on your phone, you can try to do that tonight. If you have screen time on your phone, it will tell you how you've been using your screen. Yeah? You will see how many hours of your day on average. I'm not saying what you did in one day. Just look at the average. Your average do you invest? Yeah? On consuming. Yeah? Junk food. It's not even food. It's junk. Amen? You know that some drinks you drink, yeah? They're not really contribute anything to your health. Hello? There are some drinks you drink that are harmful to some organs in your body. I'm talking about some soft drinks. They actually harm in your body, but you know why you're drinking it? You're enjoying it. You know, from today, yeah, when you want to take a drink, just have an assessment. I say, check what is written. It is written for a reason. And ask myself, what benefit is this drink doing to my body? Amen? Then ask yourself, what harm or what possible harm is this drink doing to my body? Now, I know sometimes it's difficult to drop, but once you get it, just be clear in your mind why you are drinking that drink. Because I tell you something, you can ditch it and substitute it for what will benefit your body. Amen? That's why that's the purpose of food. The purpose of food is not just to entertain your tongue. Amen? But to benefit what? Your body. Amen? Are you with me? So now, you spend 3-4 hours, yeah, consuming junk. I won't call it junk food, because it's not food. Spiritually, yeah, junk food is the things that entertain you. You laugh. Ha 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 ha, that was fun. So you always say, I'm feeling tired, I just want to relax. So you watch all these videos that are very funny. And you will laugh. As you're laughing, the devil too is laughing. You know why he's laughing? Because you know at the end of the day, you will not pray. You'll be too tired. Before you finish, you've eaten that junk. You've eaten food. Now you're full. You're going to yawn. And you sleep off. Amen? Are you with me? You're not feeding spiritually. You're not drinking spiritually. Your spiritual life is going down. Just like if you tried it physically, the same thing. So now you just manage to mumble a 2-minute prayer. and it's very shallow. You know, there's shallow prayer. Yeah? Do you know when I say something, the prayer can be shallow? Please tell me, what is between shallow prayer and deep prayer? Let me test you. Mike, shallow and deep prayer, what's the difference? Never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Shallow prayer, deep prayer, yes?
When you just pray for yourself.
I'll come back to that. That was a good word. I'll come back to that. You know, let me tell you something. If your prayer life is always about what God will do for you, your prayer, you are shallow. The Lord's Prayer. It says what? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you see? Can you see that the one for you is just sandwiched somewhere in the middle? Give us this day our daily bread. That's sandwich inside the middle. It's like one tiny slice of ham. You know the tiny one? See how much ham is in this sandwich? You know, I ate the sandwich in the past and it was just all cheesy. Where is the ham? You can't taste it. It's just there. Amen. If you look at Lord's Prayer, from beginning to the end, the real bread, yeah, of prayer is not about you. Amen? It's about the kingdom. It's about others. Now, what you don't understand, and I've taught this before, is that Bible says that if you, yeah, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Yeah? And I said, therefore, I'm quoting the Bible. He said, therefore, whatever you would like others to do to you, do unto them. Give us a principle of prayer there. That, actually, when you're praying for others, God's power will come back into your life to do for you the things you need. It's the principle. Hallelujah. It's the principle. So, one of the reasons why your prayers are not being answered is just that you're only permanently focused on yourself. You want to be entertained and you want to be satisfied. You don't care about the kingdom. You don't care about righteousness. You don't care about the salvation of souls. You don't care about people being healed, delivered, set free from bondage, from oppression. You are not going to pray for your brother. You're not going to pray for your cousin. You're not going to pray for your uncle or auntie. You're just going to get angry with them. You're not going to pray for them. You're just going to tell God, you know, to deal with them. If you have to pray, it's only that God should what? Deal with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Prayer is essential for your spiritual life. It's essential. And so also is the word of God. It keeps your spiritual life flourishing. It helps you to flourish spiritually. Amen? So when the Bible says never stop praying, it's saying that you need to constantly have a refueling or a refill in prayer. That's how you're going to navigate life successfully. If you want to navigate life successfully, yeah? You see, in life, sometimes you will face stumbling blocks. There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah? Some things will come your way that you didn't want to come your way. Yeah? Sometimes, you know, you may have a job, you're enjoying it, and then you lose the job. Sometimes you're not enjoying the job too. You lose it. It can happen. You can't predict it. Yeah? Sometimes you are even enjoying the job. Then you got to a point. Something happened. They changed somebody somewhere. And they started frustrating your life. Then you yourself resign. Yeah? But you did not plan for that. You see that? So life can throw up challenges and stumbling blocks. It is through prayer that we navigate life. Yeah? And prayer is not only reactionary. Prayer is also preventionary. When you pray,
when you're staying in communication with God, talking to God, praying about everything, you are preparing your future ahead before you enter into it. The reason why our world is the way it is, the reason why our families are the way they are, is because we're not praying. You're not praying. Ask yourself, you know, in 2024, how many members of your family do you pray for that they should grow deeper in their relationship with God? How many of them did you pray for that they should be delivered, you know, from the bondage of Satan? How many do you pray for that they come to know the Lord? Ask yourself. Your friends. Your siblings. Your spouse. How many do you pray for and say, Lord, you spend 30 minutes and say, Lord, I just really want, you know, this person to come closer to you. I want you to open their eyes. I want them to grow. Yeah? Sometimes the people you are complaining about that they are not doing well, how much are you balancing that with praying for them? That God should help them to become better. We don't pray. We only pray for what we want, our selfish desires. That's why the kingdom of God is not advancing. God wants to move in every life. I know you know that you said that God loves you. Did you say that God loves you? Do you believe that God loves you?
Yes.
Yeah, I know God loves you. Amen. But so does he love him. Amen. But not just that. He also loves the guy on the street who has not even come to faith. Amen. He loves them. And he wants to save them too. But we don't pray. Can you see? That's why he says, never stop praying. It's like water. Whether you feel like it or not, you need to drink water in a healthy portion daily. And how many times do you need to drink water in a day? Please help me. I have to ask 7 more minutes to finish. How often do you need to drink water in a day? Come on, help me. How often? Okay, do I need to define? Let's assume you take a healthy portion of water, yeah, in the morning. Let's assume a cup. Whatever size is the healthy portion of water. And you took it in the morning. How often do you need to take that in a day?
As often as your body needs it.
As often as your body needs it. Yes. Any other one? Any other one? That's good. That's good, by the way. Any other one? Anybody give me a number? Let's assume a cup of water. Whatever size the cup is good enough for you for a portion. How many portions do you think you need in a day? 10. Sorry? 10? Yes?
5.
I had 6. Any other person? Just think about yourself.
Same 2 liters.
I know you drink water.
I'm really bad at drinking.
2 liters.
2 liters. That's been very, very, very precise. But you see, yes, this way. How many times do you think you need to drink a healthy portion, a cup of water every day? When you're at uni?
8 cups.
8 cups? You see that? You see, never stop drinking water. Never stop praying. Now, a cup of water is even from a sip of water. Hello? But we're in a generation where our prayer is lies is now consists of sips. We take a sip. How much good can a sip of water do you? What's the value of a sip of water? Please tell me. There's some value. A sip. Like, sip. When will a sip of water do you very much good? There is a good answer. So, a sip of water can do you a lot of good in some circumstance. What's that circumstance? Sip. Say, I need just a sip. Pass.
While you're eating, it's good to sip.
Uh-huh. Because they have the food to just...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like when we're taking someone now, you can talk to God. Amen? So that it can just flow. Yes? More? I like that. That's absolutely very good. Yes? Sip. When will the sip of water do you good? You're too quiet. Are they good? Okay.
Sometimes when you're fasting.
Yes! When you are fasting or when you are... terribly thirsty.
Sometimes you just need first. Before you even face the business, you need what? A sip. Yes? Any other one? Any other one? Sip. Pass it backward. Sip. When will a sip of water do you good?
It's when you're thirsty.
When you're thirsty. When you're very thirsty. Yeah? You need what? A sip. A sip is just an introduction. Yeah? Yeah? A sip just gives you a momentary satisfaction. But we never meet the water needs of your body. So also, your sips of prayer, yeah, just gives you a temporary relief. But if we never nourish your spiritual life properly. And that's why you see that the life of God that should be flourishing in you is not flourishing because you are not praying. Jesus prayed. He can do better. Jesus prayed. Morning time, he went to pray. Evening time, he went to pray. Night time, he went to pray. If Jesus prayed, you're a follower. Who are you following again? It's Jesus. Are you better than Jesus? You know, sometimes the way some preachers preach, not on this end, other parts of the world, they make you feel that because you're a New Testament believer, you have something more special than Jesus. He bought it for you. Amen? He bought it what? For it's his life that he gave to you. You're not better. Amen? He's the word that became flesh. Hallelujah. You are not the word that became flesh. Amen? You are born again. Hallelujah. You are in spiritual death. And you are now brought back to life. Yeah? But he was not in spiritual death. He's the word of God. We said it last week. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And became what? Flesh. And he still had to pray. Amen? Now let's go to Acts 12. Finish on Acts 12. You see, Herod, King Herod, he looked at the church and decided that, look, he's going to harass them to please the Jews. So he took James. There were 12 apostles of Jesus. 12 apostles of Jesus. These are the special, the most special friends of Jesus. You know, sometimes you feel as if God's not answering your prayer because you're not special. But these were the most special. Yeah? Sometimes you feel as if God doesn't know your name. Does it feel like sometimes you feel like God, are you there? Are you still there? My name is... Do you know me? If someone gets to you and give you a prophecy, you'll say, oh, so God knows me. Well, he knew you. So these are the most special friends of Jesus, 12 of them. Then out of these 12, there was a special three. These special three are like, they were the first, even the first apostles. The first people to actually follow Jesus. John. And his brother, James. Then Andrew. And his brother, Peter. Those are the first four these people to follow Jesus as his disciples. Yeah? And out of these four, you had the top two. Was Peter and who? John. Quickly followed by James and Andrew. So Herod took James and killed him. He just arrested him. It was a fake charge, like politicians do. Yeah? And killed him. Yeah? I wonder what was the time lapse of when he was arrested and killed. I wonder what the church was doing in that interval. I wonder whether they thought, okay, look, you know, they've been delivered before from prison, so God will just do his thing. God cannot allow James to die. It's impossible. James? The second in command, or third, James cannot die. It's impossible. And then, suddenly, he was dead. Yeah? So, Herod too, when Herod took James, and Herod found out that he was able to kill James and nothing happened to him, yeah? He was emboldened. Yeah? To go for a bigger fish. So, the next time, he took what? Peter. But now, the church too has become wiser. Amen? The church has become what? Wiser. What they do? The Bible said when he arrested him, constant what? Prayer. So that's one aspect of never stop praying, that you pray without giving up. This is what I want to explain. Don't get weary. Don't ever contest, oh, this prayer, God has not even answered. Amen? How long does it take for a woman to carry a pregnancy before delivering a healthy child? 9 months. Imagine a woman that has carried the pregnancy for 1 month and say, ah, why has baby not come out? You send her for education. some things take time. Not everything. Yeah? Some things take time. Some meals take a longer time to prepare than others. Yeah? Do you agree? So also sometimes your prayer to provide results may take some time. But don't give up in the interval. Amen. Let's rise up. So I want to believe that God has spoken to you today. We talked about pray without ceasing, never stop praying. We talk about prayer being an essential element for your spiritual life. Just like you have to keep drinking water, maybe 6-7 cups per day or 2 liters. So also you have to pray. You have to keep praying. And we're not talking about just taking a sip of prayer. That's too shallow. Leave that for babies. Unless you want to remain a spiritual baby forever. Talk to God. Tell him about everything. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray about the word of God. Pray about everything. Have communion, conversation with God. Let your time you spend with God, let it compete with the time you spend with any other worthy thing. Of course, I'm talking about in your spare time. If you have a spare time of 3 hours, yeah? Don't give 5 minutes to prayer and 2.5 hours to junk. Unless you are not a believer. You see, if you are not a believer, I don't have any business advising you to pray. You don't have spiritual life. But if you are a believer, you're going to spend time to pray because you are living in an adversarial environment and your adversary, the devil, he never rests. He's going about looking for somebody to derail, somebody to mess up. You don't want to be that victim. Pray and say, Lord, help me. Lord, to practice prayer as an essential part of my daily walk. Nobody's exempt. No believer is exempt from praying. And no believer is excused to be praying shallowly. The Lord's Prayer itself is not shallow. It's very deep. Say, Lord, I dedicate myself to spending time, good time in prayer daily. Praying about myself, but also praying about others and the kingdom. Praying about spiritual things, not just material things. Praying to deepen my relationship with God. Spending time in thanksgiving, in praise, in intercession, in supplication, and in thanksgiving. Lord, give me the grace not to give up, not to give in, not to get tired, not to be satisfied with just sips of prayer. I don't want to be shallow. I want to be fruitful. I want to thrive. I don't want to build my life on junk. I can't afford it. I want to build my life on real food and real drink. The one that will nourish me and help me to be productive and to be victorious in every part of my life. And I pray that you will help me. In the name of Jesus. Now, the last part of this prayer is that you're going to pray and say, Lord, I want to go and put this into practice. As from today, there's no procrastination. I want to pray daily. I want to spend time praying daily. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. I just come against everything in your life that's a barrier to your prayer life. Every spirit of discouragement, I bind you. I break your power over any life here. in the name of Jesus. Every cloud of Satan, every cloud of darkness that is sitting over anyone here, trying to press you down and block you from moving forward spiritually, I break that cloud. I command you to be totally dismantled in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of weariness, I bind you. I break your power. And I lose your hold over these ones in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Say, Lord, I pray for that, Lord, that you release fire. Fire into every heart. I want you to receive that prayer with faith. Fire! The fire of God. The holy fire of God to burn in your heart. Let your heart should be like an altar to God. Burning with holy fire! The flame of the Holy Spirit. I declare any heart here that has run cold towards God, let the fire of God be released into your heart. Let your heart be a holy altar unto God, burning with the holy fire of love and of prayer. In the name of Jesus, receive fire in your heart. Let every coldness, melt away in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.